Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope.
I appreciate this morning the clapping. That's the first time in 40 years I've ever had anybody clap for me, and I haven't even preached yet, so that was pretty good. So far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, I haven't lost my temper, I haven't been grumpy, nasty, or selfish. I'm really glad of that, but in a few minutes I'm going to get out of bed, and from then on I'm probably going to need lots of help. Let's pray. I love you, Patty. It's great to have you here. Loving God, grant us joyful hearts and a holy sense of humor. God, give us the gift of faith to be renewed and shared with one another each day. Teach us to live in the moment, looking neither to the past with regret nor to the future with apprehension. May love be our aim and our life a prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I love the summer, and used to love vacation Bible schools, and thanks, Debbie, for playing the Lord's My Shepherd to the tune and everything. That was me. Debbie didn't choose it. For you that wanted a classical piece, I loved singing the Lord's Prayer like that. But two that I remembered is one, love, 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 that's what it's all about. Love, 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 that's what it's all about. Because God loves us. We love each other. Yeah, we love each other. And the other one. What's the other one I had? Love is something if you give it away, give it away. Okay, I don't have to sing anymore. Jesus taught us that it's all about love. And in the end, that's all we're going to be judged for. Did we love? Did we love life? Did we love God? Did we love ourselves? Did we love our neighbor? You got to be kidding, that one, to love your neighbor. What if my neighbor is Troy Glupp? Do you know who he is? What a doorknob this guy was. Troy's next door. He did not basically let the neighbor's house be flooded all because of him, and the neighbor had $500,000 house was nothing. Good old Troy, eh? Loving guy. Have a neighbor like that. What if my neighbor's Donald Trump? Yeah. Or Vladimir Putin? Or J.D. Vance or Pierre Poilievre. I guess I better not get into the politics. I see all these right-wing guys. Get in there, buddy. I got my Trump MAGA hat on. Don't be doing this. Yeah, what if I'm an Israeli and my neighbor's Palestinian? Or if I'm Palestinian, my neighbor's Israeli. What if I'm Russian and my neighbor's Ukrainian? Or if I'm Ukrainian and my neighbor's Russian? What if I'm Augur... I'm not sure I can pronounce it. He's a tennis player. Augur Aliassime. Roger Aliassime. And my neighbor's Jack Draper. Who's he? He's the guy that basically did an illegal return and it wasn't counted. And he didn't say, listen, it's your point. That's for the tennis buffs here. I don't have anything for the rowers or anything like that this morning. But what if my neighbor is that guy who walks his dog off the leash and never picks up after his dog? What if my neighbor's Mitch Marner? What if my neighbor's, what about that, all these Leaf fans? I want Mitch Marner to be traded for Sidney Crosby. That's my prayer for the summer. What if my neighbor's that guy who rides the e-bike or the electric scooter on the walkway paths and never yells, buddy, I'm coming through, just comes through. And if you get to my age, you stagger. A few times it's life and death risking on these paths. What if I'm my neighbor's the person feeding the wildlife? Take it easy. You see that? Those the geese that finally had a love affair and got together after a long time, and they had five babies. Three of them died, and two of them can't fly. And you know why? Because people have been feeding the adults the bread, so the geese don't. Listen, let's go, and we'll go to the, yeah. So anyway, what if that's my neighbor? Do I have to love them? Oh, come on, help me out here. Do I have to love them? I love the church billboard that announced it said that love your neighbor thing. I meant it, God. Hey, yeah, yeah. And speaking of neighbors, few of us could bear to have ourselves as neighbors sometimes. My neighbors loved the music so much, when I turned it up, they invited the police to come and listen. My neighbor's diary says that I have boundary issues. You got it. One guy got that. Didn't you get that? My neighbor's diary says that I have boundary issues. Okay, a few more. That didn't work out. All right. This one I wasn't sure, but I'm going to use it. My friends are furious with our next door neighbor who sunbathes in the nude. Personally, I'm on the fence. What a congregation. Some of your hair is like, man, when's Maya coming back? A good neighbor is a person that who smiles at you over the back fence but doesn't climb over it. And in the words of the august poet Robert Frost, fences make good neighbors. But you know, before you can love your neighbor, your brother or sister, as yourself, you got to first love yourself. And to first love yourself, you got to know that God loves you now and loves you always. God loves you now and loves you always. And I know there's still Christians that don't buy that, which is really upsetting, because that is our good news. That's the gospel. There's nothing you could do to make God love you more, nothing you could do to make God love you less. There's nothing you can do to make God love you. We are loved by God unconditionally. The Apostle Paul in Galatians said, the whole law can be summed up in a single command. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer said to Jesus, who's my neighbor? And Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. And he went to him, bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. And then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. And when I come back, I'll repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three, Jesus said, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. And using this story to answer the lawyer's question, Jesus was getting at the core of Christ following, and that core of Christ following and that main value is being a good neighbor. Jesus telling the story about a hated mixed-race Samaritan doing the good thing, being a good neighbor, disrupted the idea of borders and boundaries. Want to know what love looks like? Here it is, in this good neighbor. God's love in the flesh, God's love in action. That love crosses borders and boundaries, makes new cultural rules, cares for the stranger, shows mercy. To the lawyer, Jesus asked, which of the people was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The one who showed him mercy, practical caring, meeting the real needs. Go and do likewise. Knowing what's right and doing it can be two different things. I can know in my head, I know a lot of good stuff at what it is to be a Christian. But then, that's why I don't just call people Christian. Christ followers, it's an action. It's in the doing. It's like the Nike thing stole it from the Bible. Just do it. Be the good neighbor. Be the good Samaritan. I like this little story. Of a Sunday school teacher basically telling the class the story of this Good Samaritan. She asked the class after, if you saw a person lying on the roadside, wounded and bleeding, what would you do? The little girl broke the hushed silence and said, I think I'd throw up. It's not always easy getting involved. I mean, we pay a lot of people to be the good neighbors. First responders, that's why we love them, you know. They do stuff that you couldn't pay me enough to do.
They're the ones rushing in to meet the needs. Most of us are rushing back. I don't know what it was like in your family growing up. My family was, don't get involved. Eh? Don't get involved. Don't get involved. Build that 20-foot fence between the neighbor. We don't want you to be friends. Because you get involved, sometimes you get your hands dirty. It doesn't always work out. I was thinking, an example. Remember, this was quite a while back, there was a crash in the 400, and the cause of the crash was two guys had stolen a car, and there was a crash in the 400. So the Good Samaritan stops to help the guys. The two guys that had stolen the car helped them. You know what happened to the guy? Yeah, the two guys got in his car and drove off. Right? Sometimes it's not easy to be the Good Samaritan. I'm not going to be the Good Samaritan. I don't want to lose my car. Well, I had a 15-year-old car. I wouldn't mind getting it lost, too, and then I get better insurance. Anyway, we're afraid of involvement, and we're asked to be engaged. We're in the world, not of it. That's what Jesus said. We're in it, but not it. But be in there. Be in the world. And so I'm encouraging each of us today, choose not the path of fear, but the path of faith. I love the 23rd Psalm, that one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, the worst of the valleys, those shadow valleys, we're not to be afraid. And why not? I mean, we are afraid. But what stops us from not engaging in the world and helping those that God leads us to help out? It's our own fear of doing it. And yet, God's planted within us an amazing power that can overcome our sort of innate, oh, I'm not going to get involved, I'm not going to get into this, I'm going to, you know. God planted into our hearts a spirit, the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes we don't talk about it, you know. You start talking about it, oh, that guy's going way too Pentecostal, you know. We don't want to get into that. But they really lift up the place of the Holy Spirit in our lives, you know. The Spirit of God dwells in us, Paul says in Romans, and reminded Timothy, that spirit is not the spirit of cowardice or timidity. It's a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. And we talk a lot in some places about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. To me, it's basically the spirit that God planted in me and in you when we opened our life to follow the Christ who says, be the good neighbor. That spirit, we release that spirit and say, be the head of my life. Let you be the one to guide. And not my own humanness that wants to back off. I remember CPR started, you know, help out. The old days where I learned as a lifeguard how to say, you know, when guys were in the old way. And then the new way came in, CPR. And as a police officer, I can remember saying, man, I better learn that CPR in case you come into that situation. And I had friends in the police department, close friends actually, really close friends, that were saying, Raj, don't learn it. Don't learn it because if you do it, you might get sued. Oh, no. Did you know in Canada and Ontario, there's Good Samaritan laws had to be put in? Because people were chickening out. It's like, we could have helped the Brit. Oh, if you get in there and you do something wrong, like, you know, push too heavy, you break the guy's ribs, somebody's going to sue you after. And it's like, so we had to build that. Too bad. Right? Too bad. It's crazy. Anyway, I did learn CPR, and the other person did learn it after, once the Good Samaritan laws came in. Too bad we got to build a law to what God's asking us to, being good neighbors, right? And being involved. That Holy Spirit, we really need to be in touch. Because even Jesus didn't meet everybody's needs. You know, you think of him everywhere he went, you know, there's 48 people he had to deal with that day. Well, some he left, some he bypassed. To be open to discern in the Spirit where and how to be involved in people's lives. And some of you did the study of Make the Road by Walking by Brian McLaren. Anyway, he talks about listening to the Spirit. I want to encourage you to listen to the Spirit, to be good neighbors. And for those visitors, and I always want on a Sunday, Bloordale, put your hands up. Anybody from Bloordale here today? Hey, let's have a clap for these guys. God bless you. Okay? Yes. Yeah. And if you... Listen, somebody said there, when we welcome people, new people, there's a little package. I'd love it if you getting that was a little cup, I think, or whatever. And somebody said, should we give these out? He said, not the Bluto people. You're part of the family. You're not visitors here. You're part of this community. So you're not, but if you really be upset not to get the little package, take it on the way out, okay? Or if you're visiting, some people advertise their weakness. Islington doesn't. Islington is a good neighbor church. We're a good neighbor church. And when I first came here, just I guess they wanted to tell me that, somebody gave me this sweater. It's three sizes too big, but anyway, I like it anyway. And on it, it's got, why we love Islington United. Volunteer work in our community. People who help people in need. Awesome choirs. Inspirational sermons when Maya's here. what's some of the other? Connecting with Jesus. Discovery, Quest Sunday School, kids and teens programs, and kids and teens are welcomed in this place. I mean, I've been in United Churches, or at least I heard of it, where a kid's running around the church, and if the guy's about to preach, get that kid out of here. I'm preaching now. And here it's like, bring the kid in. He's probably more fun to listen to than that guy at the front. But anyway, friendly and welcoming. It's a great congregation. Looking outwardly, not just inwardly, looking to meet the needs. We can't meet all the needs, but we make an effort to meet some. And there's some amazing things going on. So, Brian McLaren says, if you listen to the Spirit, here's what's going to happen. You'll be at an event, and you'll notice on one side of the room all the beautiful people laughing and having fun together. And maybe in that far corner or that table where there's only just them, you'll notice someone alone, feeling awkward, not knowing anyone. The Holy Spirit draws you to that person in need. My wife's amazing. She'll always, since she's been my best advertisement was a pastor, and when she became a pastor, she's always the one that looks for the new people in a congregation, looks for one and gets involved. And the same, to come to church and to listen to the Spirit. Maybe there's somebody that God wants you to touch this morning, even with a smiling face. And it's tough if you're like me with cold hands. I'm always going to shake. Oh, you got cold hands, buddy. Yeah, but I got a warm heart. Just, you know, just to find that person, even pray with them. The Spirit's going to draw you to that person. Here's what's going to happen. He says, if you listen to the Spirit, you'll see a person or a group being vilified or scapegoated. You asked James about this at one time. It takes guts to stand up sometimes and speak out because it could be a lot of trouble for you and maybe physically, You'll see the person being vilified. Everyone's blaming them, shaming them, gossiping about them, feeling superior, venting anxieties, but the Spirit's going to draw you to differ courageously and graciously and to step up and say, that's not okay. Listen, this isn't me. It's Brian McLaren, but it's making me look good. If you listen to the Spirit, here's what's going to happen. You may be late, tired, lots of stuff to do when you get home, maybe clothes to pick up, trash to empty. Someone else should have done this. You're going to think like that in anger. You're going to rehearse in your mind the speech you're going to give, and then you're going to think, but I guess that other person's just as tired and overworked as I am. And maybe I can help. Listen to the Spirit. Be the good neighbor. And I close, my daughter's great. She gave me this. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. That was John Wesley basically saying, be the good Samaritan. You guys, be the good neighbors, and it'll make a difference in your world and in the world of those that you touch. Amen? Amen. Excellent.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.